Good evening, folks. Derry nil, Galway one. Sorry, I'm just trying to put a positive spin on what happened. Talk about it again. Steph, I don't know what title we'll give you tonight, Steph. I don't know if we'll call you Captain Optimism. If you want to come up with something yourself, you can go with the Destroyer or something like that. If he can hit me with something better, go for it. But we're going to get straight into this game tonight. I'm really unsure how to introduce it, but we've got a goal, I suppose. You know, that's probably a positive from Benno, but I mean, you know, again, we're talking Park, we're talking about a defeat. You know, let's get straight into it. What do we think, Steph?
It was looking a bit bright at the start. I think I don't know if we caught Charles cold or they just didn't start the game. They were in first gear. They're probably looking at us at the bottom of the table, them at the top, and how they've started, how we've started, and just thought maybe it'd be a walkover, and we were getting the ball down, passing it. But like, we never really looked like we were threatening, though. We never really threatened. I know Archie Davis has an effort, but it's comfortable save for the likes of Conor Cairns. And I just, the longer it went on, you were just fearing when it got to halftime that Duff would sort of give them a rattle and the home crowd would lift if they'd end the cheer at all, because like there was over 4,000 there, wasn't there, or something like that.
So, that's right.
The longer it went on, and then, you know, the writing was on the wall. I know we've got the consolation at the end there, but you know, I think we probably could have had a penalty at the end as well, and it would have been the fucking greatest bank robbery if we had walked out of there with any points at all, which is sad to say. Like, look, it's like, even like you look at the result and say 2-1, we might have been in the game, but like
it's a case of probably the result. If you haven't watched the match, or maybe if it's coming off the back of not the results we got over the last couple of weeks, you might say, well, look, we're going to the top table, it's top of the league, the team is top of the league, you know, you're 2-0 down, albeit not a great game overall, but I think it's just because we're now into, you know, tonight up we're last six games, I think no goals at all. And you know, like you say, we started well. We weren't outstanding, but the great Tony Sheridan talked us up in comms in the first half. Even he had copped it, even as dodgy as his commentary is with some of the names and the name checking the clubs players used to play for. Even he knew, you know, as a Shell supporter, that you know Dundalk had a right go at it, and it was almost like, you know, it's a long time since I've heard a commentator being surprised at Dundalk having a go at Shelbourne and Tolka Park. You know, usually it's, you know, can Shelbourne stay in the game or whoever the away team is, because we've been so dominant over the last couple of seasons, albeit last 18 months, 2 years apart. But, you know, although we started well, again, it's, you know, there's plenty of kind of, there's a bit of drive in it. But again, we're talking about this, there's no end product. There's nothing happening. There's nothing.
Yeah.
You're not being lifted off your seat, are you?
Like, they were trying to play out from the back at the start, but they were lackadaisy, and like we were pressing them actually decently and nicking some balls and stuff like that. But again, like, the ball's gone up to Cameron Elliott. Unfortunately, for me, he's not a target man. The runs in behind he makes are, you know, I don't know what to make of him at all, but look, he doesn't do it for me. Gullen comes on with about 20 minutes to go, so he's not fully fit. McGuckin looked lively against Waterford. I know he's playing out wide right, but I'm led to believe he's a number 9, so I can't understand that decision for a start. Unfortunately, Hayden Muller's not a left back. We've seen him trying to dribble out from the left-hand side and just getting caught a couple of times. Yeah. Archie Davis, uncharacteristically in the first half, was playing square balls, so like even that sort of crept into his game, where he'd be usually solid and giving balls away and creating chances. Boyd nearly got in. Johnston covers across brilliantly. He's probably the one light that you can sort of take out of it. I think he's been very good since he's come in. and he's covered across a couple of times in the first half. So look, we could have been behind there. Boyd wasn't sharp enough, or he's just read it well. But you know, I like Donald's talking about Hooban, but like, where, how are we gonna keep coming back to this? Like Hooban didn't even start tonight for Derry. He was on the bench, come on at half time. Like, I know he's a goal scorer and that, but what is he picking up an injury, or is Higgins resting him for, I think Dave Shell's on Monday. So look, we need to, I know it's, you can talk about it all day, but we obviously couldn't afford him, or whatever happened. I can't for the life of me see Stephen O'Donnell telling him he's not in his plans and then go and speak about him at his tribute night or whatever, or send off night or whatever he had. So I think we need to get on with what we have. We don't have a lot on the evidence of tonight. You know, you're looking at the bench there and you're thinking, like, Ryan O'Kane, what, how many minutes did he come on for? Durant was more dangerous than Hogan for me, or shift Hogan into the middle, do something. Benson was non-existent for me. I think he's lost when he's sort of pushed into that forward role more. Might be a bit harsh, but for me, there was one stage in the first half where he closed somebody down, he got a nick on the ball, and I, you know, took a check and said, I didn't even realize he was playing. Like we're used to Benson picking up the ball off the centre half, so being the box 8-8 man. Like, and look, he's not the player he was. He's had serious injuries, but you know, there's a lot wrong. Like, Munro seemed like he was very competent and a confident keeper. He was claiming balls in the air and he was decent at the back, and then we could see the goal, and I don't know if it's down to inexperience or being under pressure.
Yep.
Every time the ball went back to him, then you were like, it looked like we were in trouble. He nicked one of their attackers on another night. We know the League of Ireland referees, how easy they are to brandish a red card. Like, because he's obviously clipped him.
Absolutely. Yeah,
could be a straight red. I don't know. I've been in teams as well where the confidence just drains out of you, or you're on a poor run and just nothing seems to go right. But like, you're trying to look for any sort of spark or any sort of bit of light in it at all. And you're struggling. You're clutching at straws at the minute.
Like, just with Johnny, just the perfect time. I was actually going to mention Oostenbrink, and you know, it's obviously his first league start, right? And what we thought would allow, what you just said there, it would allow the likes of Benson, you know, I don't know what the plan was, Benson or Scott Hyde, to kind of move further up the field. But even if you talk about Burt's goal, you know, the gap in midfield for him to get that ball and run 35, 40 yards unopposed and then towards the two centre backs. You know, he had the freedom of the pitch. He probably could have took another step with the ball. Honestly, didn't come to him, Muller, nobody. But like you just mentioned Benson there, and just with the comment of Oostenbrink, we seem to just let it, just seemed to open the it just seemed to part in the middle of the pitch. I'm not saying, it just seemed to be, you know, whatever the plan was for that split second, obviously when it's vitally important, just completely broke down. I mean, it was such a simple ball at the middle of the park, and Burt's just run right through them. Nobody, they've challenged him, but they haven't put a finger on him. And that's it. Little things like that are causing us in games like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you see somebody running from that sort of distance out, it just looked like the big massive gaps were there. Nice one, Keith.
Keith's a Pats fan. Don't listen to that daily fella, yeah. But it's little things. It's, I suppose, on nights like that kind of gap in midfield, that kind of breakdown, like you said, Munro as well, that the confidence seemed to drain out of him after a couple, you know, first couple of touches of that ball. He seemed the shells really got at him. But is it a confidence thing? Go back to this thing of, you know, are they losing confidence? Is it that little split second where you might get away with it in other games when you're maybe three up, or you know, you're battering a team for fun? Dundalk are playing into that kind of role where teams aren't afraid to come on to them, and then when they do get at them, we're just giving them the freedom of the space, freedom of the pitch, just to get at us anytime they like.
Yeah, like, look, even when you go back to the second goal, like, Ansley puts in a last ditch tackle. It is a great tackle, and he sort of gets it out wide. But you know, it's a last ditch tackle. They're nearly in, and then it's a nice play, bit of play from Jarvis. He splits the two defenders, and Burt, you know, just gets away from, I can't remember who it was, and pulls it back. But there was two lining up waiting to tap it in. Unfortunately, Muller gets his legs tangled and puts it into his own net. But John Martin, like, that's a criminal miss as well. Like, he's one-on-one. And, you know, it could have been worse. Like, the Benson scoring at the end just puts a bit of respect.
Yeah, more of a scoreline. Yeah, not the actual game. Yeah, yeah.
When you look at it, like, you know, the second half, I thought they were, like, cruising. Like, Mark Coyle, I think, when they signed him from Finn Harps, I was saying it's a bit of an odd signing. I didn't think.
I was thinking the exact same. I was watching it tonight because the first time I was seeing him play, like,
I've seen him play towards the end of last season, and he sort of, I was saying, yeah, he's improved, but like, he was running the show there. He's a top player, but he's going from strength to strength there. He's my doppelganger, I think. But, he's actually a good player though. So, but yeah, like, look, he's a quality player, and look, they've picked him up from Finn Harps in the first division, and look, I know it's easy saying it now because he's playing really well, but like, Duff's obviously spotted him within the league. He's obviously a leader. He's come in. Luke Burns retired, obviously due to injury problems he had, and Coyle has taken on the captaincy this year. And then you look at us, and Mountney gets his first minutes of the season, I think, club captain. Like, and you're thinking, like, is he going to be our left full now? Because he came on left full, and he puts in a great, right across dangerous area for the goal, but like, is that the long term solution? Like, two ends of the stick, like, you know, where Coyle
and just on that cross, like, you know, it's so late in the game, there's nobody even on the end of it. There's nobody busting the gun to get in there. You know, it's just a shame. McGawker saying there's nothing seemed to be, you know, there's nothing up front. We're just back to that crack again of, you know, not to go off the point, but you know, it's just when you mentioned the Mountney cross playing at left back again, nobody there. Last minutes of the game, you know, like, even when we got the goal, there doesn't seem to be anything. You know, we didn't seem to have any drive, send boys forward. There was nothing.
Yeah. Even Shane McGuck there saying, like, O'Kane got the ball the first time he got the ball, and he's raiding down the left, and he looks up, and there's nothing in the box to hit, and he has to come back to Muller at left full or whatever. So, like, you know, if you don't get people in the box, you're not going to score. And when we did at the end, Benson makes the late run and scores the goal. You know, it's like, if have one system of play that you're going to try and, you know, get goals from, but if we're going to be playing out and out wingers like we always do, like, you should be either taking them on, getting to the end line and cutting it back, like Shells had been doing, or your cross balls into the box. But like, Elliot's not going to be the target man that we need. Hopefully, if Gullen's back fit, he can be that. But the couple of times I've watched him now, I don't know if he's going to be the answer either. So look, there's a lot of question. Like we said, there's a lot of question marks, and 7 games into the season, I think there's even more question marks now. Honestly, like, just like, Eric, I know that is it StubHub or whatever you call it, like the predicted lineups, like, you know, I don't think I'm close on any of them. Like,
I haven't even tried because I thought I'm going to get nowhere near it.
Like consistency, like, I know we have to change sometimes because you're not doing well, but like, you're always saying, like, you know, if you're consistent at the back and then you can build from there, but fuck.
I just see it at the corner of my eye here. James Rogers has a tweet up, and it constitutes tonight's defeat constitutes the worst start to a season since 1972-73 season. Like, that's a frightening start. Now, I know we're going back there, different eras, different levels of play, but you know, that's pretty, you know, it's pretty shocking. Like, I mean, I actually forgot tonight it was actually top against bottom in the league. I completely overlooked the fact that Shells were top of the league. You know, I'm that concentrating on Dundalk and where we are. You know, there's such a gulf. Like, you know, I know we keep going on about the strikers, and I know we keep going on about scoring goals. I think you had said in the chat, Gullen didn't even have his name on the back of his jersey. So I don't even know what they were planning on bringing them on or printing it in white. But it's, there just seems to be such a lack. It's not that the players aren't there either. I don't think it's a lack of, you know, forward-thinking players. I just don't know if they've been crippled by the system. I don't know if it's the way they've been coached. It just seems to be something just lacking. Like, that Mountney cross is a perfect example. Nobody there. O'Kane had one. Davis had one or two in the first half. Davis had a, you know, one or two poor touches in the first half as well, if we're talking about confidence. But we're really lacking something. We thought Gullen was going to be the answer. And look, we're very early days here. But, you know, from the Tala game, I think it set it up that we were going to have a really good positive start to the season. And just nothing's gone right since. And, like, I think somebody had mentioned, it might have been Darren. I don't know if it was Meehan or Meenan. I accused Darren Meehan of texting last week, and it was Meenan. He said something, like, you know, whatever was said at half time, Darren Meehan, yeah. But they come out of a worse team than we're in. So what's been said at half time? You know, you're trying to motivate players, but are they being demotivated at whatever way the team talk's going at half time?
Yeah, I don't know whether they thought, look, we're doing all right here, and not that they can take the foot off the gas or anything, but like, Shell's definitely stepped it up, and as soon as their tails went up and the fans got behind them, like, it was just like wave after wave of attack, and it didn't look like we were going to get out. The spaces started opening up for them when they were running at us, and we just couldn't match them. It looked like we'd drained our energy out in the first half, like you said. Like Bort's quick, but it's not like he's coming into the league unknown. Like, he's been around a long while. We know how dangerous he can be. He was electric for Bowes, and, you know, it didn't really work out for Michels there. But we know how good he is, and he just probably needed a run of games where he just played. And look, he scored a goal, and he's set up the own goal. Like, they're the danger men. You do your homework on them.
We will have Chris Clark coming in with us in a couple of minutes. He was live at the match tonight, so we'll be able to get a little bit of post match reaction off Steve as well.
I think we said that, like I said after the Sligo game, I didn't know Stevie was going to survive after that. I thought that might have been the result that pushed it over the edge too far, because, you know, being down 4-0 at half time, the way we played and everything else, like, you know, I thought there'd be no coming back from that. I think he knows himself. He's under massive pressure, and, you know, when I have to sleep, David. But look,
I thought you'd like that one, Steph.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, we did mention, in fairness, we did mention a couple of weeks ago. I think, I don't know what was it, the Galway game, or was it the Sligo match? I can't remember what we did say. I was saying, like, April 1st, that weekend where we had this game. And then we have the Louth derby Monday. It could be a real, either a turning point one way or another. But I honestly expected us to pick up a couple of points along the way. And it's really worrying now. Like, Monday's game now, like, nothing's going to change me now on Monday, but Monday's game is now massive. Like, it's big anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a huge game now. I don't think he'll come up against a bigger, and that includes probably his cup final with Pats. I don't think he'll come up against a bigger game in his managerial career than Monday. I don't think I'm putting two... I don't think I'm going over the top and saying that, but after tonight's and the last couple of weeks, Monday's absolutely huge, especially at Oriel Park, 1 o'clock in the day, no hiding place. It's absolutely huge.
Yeah, and I've seen a few pictures floating about of the owner being here as well, so he's up at Talca, so
yeah.
Look, I'm sure he can feel that pressure on him as well, Stevie. Look, he's been around football long enough, he knows it won't be good enough, and you know, he'll be feeling the pressure. So, I don't know where we go from here. Hogan in the sixth, picking up balls to play it all, no drive at all. Happy to hold possession. And that, there was no cutting edge. You didn't have anybody, you know, running. You know, you'd sort of think at times like that, like Durant is direct and he takes people on, but we didn't really see it too much. I don't think the pitch lent to that at all. But then, again, you see Bort doing it in the second half. So, Ross Mahon, another one who seemed to have a decent preseason, hasn't really got a look in. I don't know. Look, we don't know the ins and outs if they're not performing in training or anything like that. But I don't know. Like, we've taken him in from Motherwell. Is he on loan? I can't remember. But he hasn't got a sniff yet. Like, you're just wondering. Like,
and you wonder how. Like, you know, and that's not being disrespectful of him in training or whatever's on the field, but how are they not getting more minutes? How are we not seeing more? And considering the lineup never stays the same, you know, it seems to be one glaring omission from it. Like, you almost forgot we had Oostenbrink there available.
Well, I think he'd a couple of injuries already. Look, you've got Dara Keane, who's like injury record was very patchy as is. He hasn't been available once, or if he has been, he hasn't made the bench once. I do think he's injured. I believe I heard he's injured, but they're not good enough though, or they're being sent out and it's not good enough. What's the answer then? Everyone says get behind them, but it gets to a stage where it's early in the season as well, so.
And is Donal right there, you think? Is it, you know, I thought he was being, even though I mentioned this weekend, I did thank God, I even thought after the podcast that night, I said, I might be a wee bit critical here. I might be a bit, you know, overthinking it, but is it a do or die situation? Is it, you know, it's Derry away on Friday as well, you know, so.
Yeah, but they're
cat. Yeah, go a bit, they're cat. Go a bit, the two big giants.
Yeah, well, like, you know, I think that part, they're on 5 at the minute and we're on 2. So, it starts widening a gap straight away after, I think we have Derry and then the Bulls match was called off. So you're nearly through the first round of fixtures then. We've obviously a game in hand, but it's the longer it goes on, the more like the gap will widen. So, I don't think you can understate it. It's a massive game now. You'd always say the next game's the biggest game, but this is like a loud derby at home. We're struggling. We need to get 3 points, honestly. Like, we need to get 3 points, try and kick start something, get some positivity back in the week, because I'm drained.
I don't even think, well, maybe like a cracking 3-3 draw might cover it. Maybe.
No.
But that's what I mean. Like, an exciting game could see something, but when you look around at, when you see comments, we keep going back to comments, and like, there's a good one from Patsy there as well. Like, who would come in now? Like, if it was a thing of, you know, would you look to someone within the club? Someone like, I'm not here to say it. Anybody should be sacked. And look, we hate to see managers sacked, especially from our club, because we're used to having the one all the time. But where do you go? I don't want to be throwing out names, but is it a simple, let's get rid of the management and the whole setup and we start from scratch? Or is it, at the end of the day, the players won't change until July? So is it, I know we can't leave it that long, but, I think the run of games that he's had over the last couple of weeks, I just don't see any other outcome without a win. Even like, as Chris would always say, regular last minute own goal, it doesn't really matter once it's going in their net. We'll take any win on Monday, but it is, like Donal said, it is a do or die game. I didn't think we'd actually get to this stage. I thought we'd pick up a few more points along the way, but like Frank said, where are you going to get the points from? There's nothing to give you any kind of hope of beating a team like Drogheda on Monday, even at home. And it's really worrying now, the next kind of 48 hours. I think if it's a heavy defeat or a lackluster performance, maybe even with a draw, the questions will definitely be answered, because they are being answered by the fans. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we have probably, I don't mean to blow our own trumpet, I think in the last 5 podcasts, when it comes to live shows, we've had over 1,200 people watching us. We normally get about 50. So that'll tell you, the fans... and we're not saying it's just ours, all podcast. It's a fans-based, podcast. And at the end of the day, fans generally, especially League of Ireland fans, don't get it wrong too often. And it's just a really worrying now, this weekend, is going to be a real, it's going to be a long weekend for them probably, but Monday, 1 o'clock, I'd have to probably agree with Donal. It is do or die. I just don't see anything but a win, you know, letting them go to as far as Derry, unless they've got massive faith in what's going on, and look at more power to them if they have, but I just don't see where it goes. Christopher, are you on Mike?
I think so.
Go on, yeah, boy, yeah. Listen, we're having a rant. We're having a rant with 252 people here at the minute.
My head's gone, so.
And Steph is out. Captain Positivity will not be returning until at least May bank holiday.
He's left the building.
Okay.
Chris, you were at the game. You obviously were at the game, Philemon. You know, from obviously watching the telly commentate, it's tough to listen to the comments, as Donal rightly pointed out on Twitter. But from being there, I always like to get the actual in-depth, in-live perspective of the game and the fans. What was the crack after the game, I suppose? It's probably, like, I know we can talk about the game as well, but is there any kind of giving out, I suppose, is probably the best way of putting it. He's on mute.
He's right. He's dead right.
Can you mute yourself, Chris?
He's probably going through a sticky.
He's muted himself.
Sticky area.
Well, folks, just when I see the banner coming across the bottom, if you do have a man of the match, we will probably give it the pizza to drown our sorrows. You know, if you have a man of the match for tonight, at this stage, I have visions of all Mark Coyles coming in, people looking for a pizza, give him a pizza. But if you do have a Dundalk man of the match, throw it into us.
I think anybody that stuck through the 90 minutes watching it, or actually anybody that was up there in Talca supporting the lads.
If you're at Talca, folks, text us in and we might be able to give you a pizza. But Steph, is he back there? Is he going to miss? Sorry, folks, Beauty of Life podcast. Steph, as it's been mentioned, you know, a do or die situation Monday. If we win, and then we get bet against Derry, are we just back into square one again? You know, is it just something that's going to cover over something until the next game?
I think the Rovers game gave us all the false dawn, and then, you know, it's just got progressively worse. You're hoping that, you know, like, Rovers seem to do it now year on year, and look, we all know the embarrassment the riches they have in their squad, but look, that aside, they always seem to start poor, and then, you know, they build up momentum, and, you know, they go from strength to strength. But, you know, we started well against them, but, like, when you look at the goal difference, even, like, it's very, very worrying. And then with, like, you might say, look, maybe we're unlucky here, or we hit posts, so we missed good chances. Like, we're not. The killer is that we're not creating chances.
I think that's what fans are giving. Okay, obviously results are bad, but it's the performances. That's the real issue here.
Yeah. So that, like, look, you always hear, you know, the old cliches about the strikers, and, you know, strikers, good strikers missing loads of chances. You'd be more worried if they don't create them. It's the same with a team. Do you know, if you're not creating the chances, like, you're just relying on keeping clean sheets then to pick up points, which isn't going to happen. Even the best teams can see goals. So, you know, that's the worry for me. It's we always thought, you know, if the goals dry up, you're going to be in massive trouble. And they've 2 goals in 7 games. One's a free kick and one's a 92nd minute cross into the box. So, yeah, there's a few half chances here or there we could talk about, or missed chances along the way, but it's not like, you know, you're missing loads of chances and you just can't seem to score. It's the lack of creativity, and
with that lack of creativity, those half chances are all they are. Like, some teams score from half chances when they've got that bit of a flow going, but because your confidence is so low, because you're not creating much and there's nothing really happening, you're getting, midfielders, wingers are getting frustrated. When those half chances come along, they're nothing chances, really. I mean, you know, they're scuff shots, though. Your luck's, you're hitting off defenders. It's your luck's just out when you're not kind of breeding that mental confidence going down the field. You know, defenders, you know, as they're watching you come along, defenders will feed off that because they know that you haven't got that in front of goal. You just can't seem to produce it. And it's like someone had said, Cammy Elliott, you know, tonight was a defender's dream. you know, that's probably the, you know, going forward, that's probably what we are at the minute. I mean, we're so easily read.
Gavin Malloy and Paddy Barrett weren't under any real pressure tonight, were they? Like,
yeah.
I know he's like keep them busy, or like Roy Keane to start a fight with somebody, you know. Yeah, look, it's, I don't know, Gullen coming on at the end, he's probably gonna start now. Start on Monday, you'd imagine. Elliot sort of came off with an injury. But yeah, look, you don't even see a style of play where you can recognize it and go, oh yeah, but look, at least we're trying this, or you know, this is going to click for us. So yeah, if they were like going direct to the striker and then, you know, playing off the flick balls, or they're banging the ball out wide and getting the fullbacks to support, or going walking through the middle, it just seems like, you know, we're blunt. And yeah, that gives the, like you said, it'll give the other team so much confidence that, you know, these aren't really going to trouble us, so we can probably squeeze on. If we get one, then I'm sure it's in the dog players' heads as well. If they go a goal behind, then they're thinking, geez, we haven't scored much. We'd only scored one before tonight. Like, you know, we're in big trouble.
Yeah, and we keep saying it, you know, as long as it's really frustrating. It's as long as you're not playing well, I suppose, you know, we go back to this creating chances. You know, if we compare it to the Tally game, I know what happened. It's bad as talking with Hooper, but we played with no fear really in Tally. It looked like brand new team, brand new setup. Some lads didn't really know the league. And it's almost now that's almost been drained out of them. I don't know if that's just us watching the games. It almost seems that bit of life that they had, that little bit of, you know, go about them, it just seems to, as slowly as weeks go by, they just seem to have lost that little bit of freedom. I know obviously it was a structured game, there's a certain way of playing, but we haven't played like that since. And that's, as the weeks go on, as confidence drops, as idiots like us talking a podcast after a game, and you know, I know somebody, Jason, was saying that we could replay this podcast in the dressing room, but they definitely won't listen to us. But you know, the worrying thing is that it continues and it just saps them of any kind of, not ability, but maybe creativity, maybe just, they're just not confident enough, and they're not believing in each other maybe. And that's, you know, it shouldn't really happen in professional football. It's something that could slip in very, very easily. Obviously, you'd know better, Steph, you've been playing at the level, but.
Yeah, and look, you look back to the Rovers game, and it sort of suited us the way they were playing. Mm-hmm. We were happy enough to sit back and, you know, press them high, which we were doing against Shells in the first half tonight. But even when you go back to the first game, like Shelby started in goals, Monroe's in now, Davies has obviously retained his position. You had Mayowa, and you had Boyle, and you had, I also got the left back's name, but Jimmy Bullard.
Walker. Get in, Chris, your boy, that's it. Live from the M1,
yeah, boy. Yeah, there you go. And Bradshaw was playing the six, so like there's one out of the start, the four six I've named that's playing now. And look, I'm not saying all them rightly or wrongly should be playing, but that's the sort of season we're having. Like, you know, Maya got, well, I think we give him man the match, Boyle got man the match that night. Obviously, Boyle's out injured, but. Look, I think the renaissance of their partnership was Max Mata. That Friday night, or whatever night it was, yeah, Friday night against Sligo. So, yeah, look, it's looking a bit bleak, to be honest with you, Gally.
We'll try and unbleak it with this, Chris. For that, he was live at the game. Chris, can you unmute your mic for me? Because I'm struggling. Hold on.
We're good.
Go for it. So obviously you're at the game, you're in situ, filming the match. What are your thoughts? Are they as bad as we're making it out to be?
Well, as I said to our group there, when I'm interviewing Stevie later on, and he says that our attack is constipated, I think it sums it all up. You know, we possession at the back, we look shaky at times. I think there seemed to be an element of maybe don't make the mistake along with a lot of players, and therefore that kind of stifles any sort of creativity. And I think you've seen that we were in and around their box, but just no cutting edge, nobody wanting to take something on and maybe have a shot or work them in any way. And we just recycled the ball back. And every time we done that, it was a nervy ball back every time. Like my heart was in my mouth every time we had a back pass, because it just seemed to be a yard or two a little short. And, you know, it just seemed like a lot of hurried play, a lot of play of players who were, I don't want to say frightened, but like they just did not seem to have that little, you know, when you're on a winning streak, you have the confidence to take a lot on. And that seems to be lacking in our side right now. And just every time we make a mistake, then we get punished. You know, I think first half, there was very little between the two teams, I thought.
Yeah.
Shelburne looked very slow. It was playing into our hands. They come out the second half, and I know you could say they upped the gear, but I don't think they upped it by much. And that was enough to really put us at arm's length then. And once they went ahead, you kind of feared the worst then.
From a Shelburne point of view, that obviously we're watching the game, it's very tough to get a grasp on the game sometimes. You really can't, when commentators are like, you know, I know some of you come and bring in the UCD commentators back, but you know, was there a sense in the ground that, you know, Dundalk were there for the taking? Like, you know, although we were even Stevens probably in the first half, Dundalk maybe slightly shaded us. Like Darren Meehan had commented earlier on, we seem, when we come out in the second half, we almost seem like the, whatever happened in the team talk, it seemed to undo whatever we had in the first half. So did it look like Shell said, right, well, you know, even with the fan base that they have there as well, a big crowd, Dundalk were there, absolutely there for the taking. We just looked like we could not steamroll them. I know it's only a 2-1 result, that's probably flattered us, but like Steph had said earlier, they probably should have scored 3. John Martin's missed an absolute sit-up. You'd expect someone like that to go, you know, to finish it. But, you know, did it look like, did Shells look under any pressure is probably the best way I'm trying to say. Did it look very comfortable on the ball?
They look quite comfortable. At this point, my third time seeing Shells this year, and they all look very, very comfortable on the ball. They play a very calm football. It must be a little bit frustrating for their fans, because you're just waiting for them to click into a higher gear and do something. But they're quite labored in a lot what they do, but they hold on to possession, and they poke and they probe till they find, and they normally find it by one goal, and they'll win 1-0, because defensively they are as tight as anything. But with regards to the atmosphere, I think they kind of, fans were fully behind them, full of song and everything in the first half. And the longer that first half went on, they got quieter and quieter when the team found it very hard to unlock us in any way.
Yeah.
Start of the second half, they got right behind the team again, like they did in the start of the first half, except then Shell scored. And then that got them fully going. Then they were in full voice, followed by the second then, and you just knew after that then they never shut up below me. And it felt like, in particular when it was 2-0, but it felt like cruise control for that Shelburne team. That is, you know, their ideal situation is to be ahead in a game, because they just know how to see it out every time, and how to stifle any sort of momentum in the game to come against them. And it's just like I say, and they wait for their opportunity, and it probably should have been 3 at least anyway, as you say, with that big other chance then as well. It, you know, fair play to Munro for standing up and not going down early on that. Made it a good save on it, but I suppose if you're looking for any glimmers of hope, you say, look, we did score a goal, we created a chance, we scored, so that's that monkey off the back of people keep adding up the minutes that we haven't scored, you know. But did we ever look like winning the match now is the real problem. Not tonight, and we can't afford, really, we shouldn't be able to afford even drawing against Drogheda. We need a win very quickly before we start getting cut adrift, and that's the worry, that at the moment we you'd struggle to see that cutting edge that would open a team that we could, you know, get that win out of. Because at the moment, we look very vulnerable that we're always going to give teams the opportunity against. And that's...
And that seemed to be a running trend last year as well.
Yeah, but the only thing is that we were scoring goals, Gally.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
We're still as porous as we were, but without scoring goals. So now teams know if you get ahead at Dundalk, they ain't coming back. So just keep it going, and you'll have win the game out very handy without having to do too much, because we are going to give them 2-3 chances.
Yeah, like even if you go back to the Waterford game, like Amund misses a gilt-edged chance in the first half. He's like a tap in from inside the penalty box. He's probably closer in than the penalty spot, and Munro makes a good save. But if they go ahead in that, then we're struggling big time. Like, we didn't really look like we were going to score in the Waterford game either. Like, but that's totally it. Like, if you're nullified at going forward, then the chances are you're not going to win very many games. Like, unfortunately.
Chris, just on Sod's post-match
kind of
constipation chat, was there any kind of, you know, we had Donal Green up a very simple, you know, must win and draw to do or die kind of game. Was there any of that kind of questions asked on post-match? I haven't seen the post-match yet, but did it get to that kind of level? Or
Not really. I suppose you're probably with the local journalist, he probably would have been grilled a little bit more, you know, because it's kind of meant to be a bit more middle of the road with LOI TV. It's probably not as in depth. Yeah. But like he just said that, you know, scoring the goal tonight, he said this, you know, Declan said, you know, you scored a goal tonight, does that give you any hope going in now to the Louth Derby? He said, look, not really. It's not, you know, you've still lost this game, which makes Monday even more important, he said. That, you know, you're looking to try to get something now in that match, because, you know, we need to get a win. And like, that's what we're saying as well, but I think, like, we talked about this, 2-3 weeks ago, is this do or die? And, you know, those meltdown episodes already this year. I think it's a little bit more forlorn now that it's, unless I think if we get it, if we are defeated on Monday, I think it's probably very hard to see way back.
And even if you look, you know, if you look at I didn't get that good. And you've got Derry next Friday, which doesn't, you know what I mean? It's not, there's no easy games now anyway, but with Derry next Friday, Chris, that's an even, you know, you don't want to put your eye on that game even, but I mean, you know, even coming off the back of draw, that's the game you're facing into. You know, it's a real kind of, you know, I don't want to go on that far. The draw is next, and that's all I should be worrying about. But I was saying there to Steph that Monday could be end up of Stephen's management reign. It's probably his toughest game, and that probably include. I probably put in the Pats Cup final in that as well. This will be the biggest game he's faced. 1 o'clock.
Yeah, and it's the hardest test as well to pick these players up off the floor off after another defeat, after, you know, an own goal and stuff like that. You know, very defendable goals that we've given away and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like that's we are the architects to our own downfall. A lot of the time, and we are seem to be punished on every single mistake we make this year, and that's, like you say, I think it's his biggest test. You know, you're not team challenging and everything's going well in a cup final, or the way we were rolling in his first season, we were probably underdogs for the majority of that season, and we were overachieving then, and that momentum suddenly came behind us. I remember we were kind of saying we're on a roll now of X amount of wins or X amount, you know, games without a defeat. You know, now we're staring down. Before tonight, we were how many games without a goal, still without a win. You know, it's a real, real test, I would say, to his managerial reign so far and his career. It has to be one of his toughest tests. And like you say, you come out of this game, you've got a goal, but you can't build on that because it's another defeat. You're staring into a Louth derby, and if that doesn't go well, then you're staring into Derry away. And I know they lost tonight, but they're always up to playoff every time, and up there as well. You know that you're getting sacked in the morning. Chance were out tonight as it was. Imagine them now against, if the results don't go well against Drogheda, that's going to be massive, and up in the Brandywell it could be even worse.
Yeah, and it's, sorry Steph, you jump in there, sorry, I didn't know if you were going to say something.
No, no, go on.
No, just like, I mean, just looking quickly, just at a glance, you've Drogheda, Derry, you're then at home to Pats and away to Bowes. That's your next kind of four, and you finish off April then with Sligo and then Bowes again. You know, it's a real, like, I look, and the games probably look worse now because of where we are in the league. Games are tough anyway. But like we'd said so many times at the start of the season, the utmost respect for clubs, there's no UCD this year. There's no Finn Harps. There's no Bray. That type of team, you know, everybody. Like, you look at Galway beating Derry tonight. You know, probably couldn't have had a worse start to a season in a tougher league. There hasn't probably been as good a setup in the Premier Division this year. And unfortunately, we're now paying the price for, I don't know if it's a tactical issue, if it's a signing of players that we've signed.
But nomination of all, probably.
It is, yeah, it's probably, there's no real, we can't really put our finger on it, but there's just something, just not right. I've seen comments on Twitter tonight is, you know, what kind of, you know, we're relegation, you know, candidates, you know, as, you know, we can laugh about it. I think we did probably tongue-in-cheek a couple of weeks ago, but now we are. And, you know, we're the team everybody wants to play. Because, you know, that's just where we find ourselves at the minute, isn't it?
We are given opportunities, though.
Yeah.
Like, if we made ourselves hard to play against, or we were scoring goals, and people would say we have a threat. But at the moment, we don't have a threat, and we're giving up easy goals. So, like, everyone would want to play right now, and that's the issue. Sorry, Steph, for coming across you.
No, exactly what you said. Like, unfortunately, that's a sad truth now at the minute. Everyone's looking at us and going, you know, can we play them next? So, and it's like Darren said it as well, results business. And, you know, it can't keep going on like that, because the further the gap grows and nothing changes, then, you know, it's harder to get it back. And we were in the graveyard for long enough in the first division. So, you know, things can spiral out of control pretty rapidly. And then, you know, you're struggling to get up. We see the strength. We talked about it last year. You had your UCD and you had your Cork City last year. So, you know, you were sort of looking at them games going, well, we'll get back on track here, or we'll you know, pick up points as well against the so-called lesser teams last year. But Waterford and Galway are miles better than those two were last year. So, it's, you know, I don't know, you make yourself difficult to beat. And then, you know, you have to build on that. I thought, you know, maybe the Waterford game would be a building block. Clean sheet, picked up a point. The break comes, and you're hoping that, you know, you've 2 weeks to prepare for your match against Shelbourne. I just thought we'd be better prepared than we were tonight, unfortunately. And it's down to the lack of quality in the squad, which we keep hearing that there isn't, and the training's brilliant and everything's going well, then they just, is that down to the players then, the producer on the pitch, or is it down to the management team? But like we always know, the manager always comes in for the flak because he's sending his team out on the pitch. So if he doesn't think the players are up to it, then you need to change the players. Surely they've built that squad between whoever's been in charge of recruitment or whoever's, you know, signing the players. You know, like, I don't know. From what I've seen, there's a lot of good players have gone out the door, and a lot of players that I'd say either aren't ready for League of Ireland football yet, or just aren't up to the standard. And unfortunately, that's the sad truth now at the minute. It's looking pretty doom and gloom for me at the minute, but it's hard to see anything other than that. We're not creating, we're not scoring, we're leaking silly goals, mistakes, and then the confidence isn't going to grow from that. It just all leads to not a good ending.
Let's put that line. Come on, Chris.
Gally, just on Steph's point there, though. You know, I think he's right.
He can just end it on that. I think he's right.
The first half performance tonight wasn't bad. And you think, okay, second half, let's build on that again now. Can we be, you know, I would have took a 0-0 there tonight, no problem. If that was 2-0 draws back to back, I would have said that's definitely something to build on. But as soon as we conceded, I think the heads went down. There was a bit of finger pointing kind of going on, and you could just see the confidence just get zapped out of players again. So I think that's a real issue, that we're just hovering around where players have confidence. As soon as we concede or there's a mistake, you can see the heads drop, and then therefore we're wide open to go and get a second against us or whatever. And that's the worrying thing, that as soon as we conceded, I think all the confidence that we had from the Waterford game was gone.
Yeah.
And that's a real big test. Now, I didn't see or anything like that, but I think Brian Ainscough might have been at the game tonight.
I think he was,
He was. Those pictures of him, yeah.
If you're him watching on tonight, what does he think?
We'd mentioned a couple of weeks ago that he seems to be, you know, I don't say ruthless, but he seems to be very, you know, he knows what he's looking for and he knows what he wants. So it's an interesting, you know, next couple of, I suppose the next Monday, I suppose, I know we keep talking about Monday, but it seems to be, I don't think he'd pull any punches. He seems to be a good businessman, a good business operator, but I think he comes across as someone who doesn't take any bullshit. Now, that's what I'm getting from the likes of the Q&A that I heard back. I wasn't actually physically in the room, but I suppose this will put it to the test, Steph, wouldn't it? If it's going to be if we're going to be sitting here Monday, or whoever wants to come on and sit here Monday, we might want to come on and sit Monday after the game. But, you know, it's a real test for everybody now involved, whether it be the recruitment, the coaching, the staff, the physios, the players, everybody.
Yeah, and look, if we're in a bad, in a bit of a hole at the minute, that's when you need to, should be galvanizing you and get everyone together. Like I've seen a few comments, you know, you have to play for the badge. You have to have a bit of pride in yourself. Anytime, like some of the ex-players talking here and player, like coaches, Anthony Begley, seen them coming, and the coaches that have been around the game play, like have coached with the first team. Like we've all played in teams where, you know, your back's against the wall, you dig in, make things hard for the other. You win your 1v1 battles and you go from there. Like the first goal is prime example of everything that's wrong. Like Bert's gone unopposed for 30 yards, and then strikes from outside the box. It sort of took a funny the flight, whatever, but like a clever player takes the yellow card 30 yards out. I've seen, you might say it's cynical and that, but, you know, it stops a goal and it stops their pressure. And, you know, you use your head in them sort of instances. And like Chris said, as soon as the first goal went in, you've boys pointing fingers and that, you know, everyone, if it's a mistake, it's a mistake, you know. But, you know, for everyone to start pointing the finger at each other, doesn't bode well for, you know, the boys getting together and really battling against. If they have a chip on their shoulder and think, you know, everyone's giving out about them and they should be rowing in behind the team, they need to show it as well. They need to show the fans that they are willing to, you know, stick their foot in, or, you know, battle for a jersey. I seen Johnson doing a bit of it tonight, and like one or two others have just gone missing for me. I don't know if they're playing in the wrong positions or the game's just bypassing them, but it's that second half just drained the life out of me, to be honest. Nearly lost my hair and everything.
lads, I didn't get a chance to see it back or anything, but in Stephen's post-match, he said he thought we should have had a penalty. That the foul on Ryan O'Kane, how did it look?
It looked like a penalty for me. We were just having a laugh and a joke at the end, saying, you know, we would have having the way of Balaclava's leaving Tolka if he had a snatched the point at the end there. But
it definitely looked like a little bit of a pull, didn't it?
It's sort of, the camera sort of pans to it, and I'm not blaming the skills at all, but it's following the ball, and
yeah,
when it goes to O'Kane, it looks like.
His balance and fell into Ryan. Is that what happened?
Yeah, possibly.
But he definitely reaches out and kind of grabs a bit, doesn't he? On his way down, I think that's kind of the.
You see the hands coming out, and then them sort of pulling back. But O'Kane looks like he's either tripped or it does look like a foul. I don't know if
it looked like he fell onto Ryan's leg or something as he's coming down, or he puts his hand on his leg as he's lost his balance. Takes Ryan down. And like I always say, in those sort of instances, looking at players' reactions is always a good gauge of whether it was or it wasn't. Like the Dundalk players were straight over to the ref, straight away, like demanding the penalty. Like they were convinced it was, and they were all fairly close in the box at the time. So I think it's just one of those things. Then when you know when your luck's out, if it wasn't for bad luck, we'd have no luck sometimes.
It certainly looked like a penalty. When I first seen it, I thought it was a penalty, and then any replays I've seen since still look like a penalty, but guess we'll never know.
I think it almost happened that fast at a goal. It was almost kind of, even the ref was thinking, he's probably thinking, God, do I give a penalty here? There was no hesitation, he wasn't giving it. But I think if he looks back, I definitely think there's a little bit of something there. But look, on a night like that, yeah, we absolutely, Balaclava's at the ready step. We would have robbed it, but look, we would have took it, but I mean, we would have absolutely mullered it, like absolutely butchered it there and took it. But look, that's sometimes you need nights like that. Unfortunately, we're just not getting the rub of it at the last couple of games. And, you know, he's gone on as far back as Tala, but look, that's, you know, we're just, I suppose, Chris, it's as I said to Steph earlier on, just to kind of finish it up, we might attempt to give away a pizza. It definitely won't be for man of the matches, but we attempt to give away some of the comments there. Steph will have a look through them. But is it all eyes now Monday, 1 o'clock? It's a massive game. Fans got to get up. And look, we say this after every match, but I know it's a difficult kickoff time, maybe in Easter Monday. I think it's actually a great time to get, you know, especially now, well enough, you want kids up. I don't know how what the abuse might be like, but you know, 1 o'clock in the day is an unusual kickoff, but it's a cracking day to get up, loud derby. You know, Easter Monday, you know, the fans have got to get up there. Like, you got to get them, you know, the positivity in. As much as we don't want to give it at the minute, we haven't got it to give. But, you know, we can't sit back and watch it on the LOI TV. It's a great service as it is. We got to get up there in our droves and pack out the place, haven't we, on Monday, as much as we can.
Yeah, look, I think you don't want to start saying, you know, this is a cup final or whatever, but if it's going to, like, I think the atmosphere and everything was fairly decent, and it wasn't, you know, the fans were definitely behind them at that Waterford match, and we'd have, you know, we were so close to taking all 3 points in it. Yeah. The 3 points is just whether we're playing for this manager, another manager, or whatever. 3 points is still the most important thing for this team. So yeah, I think like everybody's got to get behind this. We all got to roll in, because the longer this goes on without that win, the harder this season's going to go. And we, you know, if that's just the crowd behind the players, willing them on and giving them the confidence from the stands to push on and get something, if that's what it takes, that's what it's going to have to take. And let's just, you know, absolutely everyone get behind this team and let's get this bloody win. Is it too early in the season to be looking for my, you know, 1-0s off the arse moments?
I said it, no joke, Chris. I said it afterwards, 6 minutes. I said a Chris Clark special we would have talked tonight, or even on Monday. I said it actually early before you come on. We mentioned obviously the fans before we wrap up. We don't keep everybody all night, but you know, we're looking for performance at the end of the day. But I mean, we will take any, we're at the stage and we will take Like, it's any result now. That's, you know, even a bad, even a bad, even a bad, yeah, but even a bad win might not cover it. Do you know that? We're at that stage now where even a dodgy, you know, off the arse, as you say, Chris, I don't know whether that'll cover up enough. You know, it's, we're really looking for the whole package here, aren't we? Performance at Oriel Park. I know we're asking a lot after the last couple of weeks, but yeah, you're going to jump in here, go.
Yeah, something in the back of my head, just remembering back from the start of last year. And I think we went to Dalyman Park around this time last year and we got beaten 3-2. I think we were 2-1 up.
That's right.
And we got beaten 3-2. And Sláinte done an interview in Dalyman after and he said, "It's mad what a week in football can do."
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to grasp onto a bit of optimism. And I think we won two games in a row, two games after that. I could be wrong. Someone will probably come out and say it was bullshit and we got hammered in the two games. But no, I think we won the two games and then next, while everything was looking just a little bit brighter. And it's still early enough days that if you can pick up two wins, then you're jumping up the table again. Rovers have done it already. So, but yeah, look, we need something. We need the players to come out and be fucking fighting for the jersey. If the crowd can get there early, Easter Monday.
Take the
Easter eggs and then you can fire them at the draw of the players. or defend how it goes then, but if we can get up and we can be vocal, and you know, when's the last time you went up to a game and you just fucking, you could feel a bit of buzz about Oriel Park? I think we need that. We need fucking, I take all the Shed boys having flares and getting a big massive fine if we can have a mad atmosphere, and you know, maybe the players will feed off that or something. But we need a vocal Shed if the stand can get involved as well. And you know, we talk about Fortress Oriel before and season's gone, and you know, if we can try and just, if we can make a home form even count, at least then you can sort of have something to look forward to when your Friday night's coming up to Oriel Park. it's massive. I think it is do or die, and I hope we're still alive come Monday evening.
Chris, any final thoughts?
Stephen Braveheart McKevitt.
Up your boy, yeah.
After that speech.
Yeah, you know what? It's the blue paint.
Freedom!
I'll have to get the black and white paint on the face.
Lads, look, I think we'll have to wrap. As busy as it is, and as busy as the viewers are as well, I appreciate everybody listening in, because we'll be back on Monday, I suppose, hopefully. But as Jason Crawley has put it, hopefully we will have an Easter rising. But
you it's, give a mention to the sponsors there before you go.
Yeah, we will, absolutely. Yes, Chris, we will, boss. Yes, 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 from the M1. So obviously we didn't have a man of the match tonight because, it probably would have went to Mark Coyle in Shell's jersey, but we're not doing that. So Steph, do you want to pick someone from, we're just going to pick a random person in the comments there and just give away a pizza.
Yeah, I said at the start it was somebody up in Talca. I'm not entirely sure. I'm sure there's going to be loads of comments given out to me now, but I know Darren Meehan was up with a couple of his boys, the Bomber, and his other young lad. So I think it's fitting that we give somebody that went up to Talca the pizza tonight. And he obviously voted Mark Coyle man the match anyway. So we'll give it to Darren.
Find Darren's name on the side here. There's that many comments. I actually can't find Daz's name on the comments here. But look at Darren Meehan. Well done. Meehan. We need to get that name right, because I messaged him last week thinking he messaged the podcast and he didn't. It was Meehan. So we're going to go with, look, get pizza up, order away. We'll let Tony know, or Vinny know, and hopefully we might have another one on Monday night for an actual man of the match.
If we get 3 points,
we'll have something to sort out of the bike at Christmas as well. But lads, look, appreciate everybody coming on. Appreciate all the comments. Massive crowd looking at it tonight. And look, it's unfortunate that we have a massive crowd because of the results we're having. But look, this is sport. This is what it's all about. But thanks to our sponsors, Dundalk Village, Playoff Fit Gear as well. We do keep saying it every other podcast. You might get some new stuff, but we might with the results we have, might try and cheer everybody up with some new gear over the next couple of weeks. But and obviously Tony's Pizzeria as well for doing all our pizzas each week. So look, lads, appreciate it. Hopefully it's like Jason has probably put it, Chris, you might have a couple of different, there's definitely a few names into the hat for the name is a nice podcast, but definitely an Easter Rising hopefully on Monday. And I suppose 1 o'clock, all eyes on Oriel Park. Like you say, Steph, probably from 12 o'clock, quarter 12, we can get up and make it as noisy and as even make the warm-up difficult for the draw of the players. That'd be the real kind of way of going about it, wouldn't it?
Shedside Army, organise something, walk up to Oriel Park.
That's it.
There you go.
Bank holiday Monday, straight from the town, right up past the wee house, up we go. But until then, folks, I suppose it's only come on to town, isn't it?